Hey, this is Mandy.
And this is Leanne.
And you're listening to Two Blonde Sleuths. So, y'all, my night to tell this case, and please bear with me if it's long, if I leave something out, just may need to go research it yourself because there's no way I could fit everything in. This case is a huge mystery. It has always, stayed with me since I heard about it years ago. It has twists and turns and so much to tell. Let's get started. The case of Kendrick Johnson. Kendrick was a 17-year-old high school student. He attended Lowndes High in Valdosta, Georgia. Following Christmas break, school resumed on January 9th, and on January 10th, Kendrick went to school. We know he attended his first, second, and third block. He was seen entering the gym to change into his tennis shoes. It was approximately 1:09 p.m. He never showed up to his fourth block. That afternoon, he never came home. His mom assumed he stayed after school for a basketball game or an event. Then that evening, when he still never came home.
Where did Kendrick live?
Oh, I'm sorry, in Valdosta, Georgia.
Okay.
And so his mother that night, of course, he didn't come home that night. She called the police and filed a missing persons report. Okay. So the next day, which was Friday, January 11th, 2013, I'm not sure if I said that earlier, Kendrick's mom went to the school that morning because she wanted to see, he was still missing. They helped her print out flyers and things like that and, just wanted to talk to the school and see what his last moves were. So
she was a single mom?
No. Kendrick was the baby. There were several brothers and sisters, maybe three or four. And his dad was a truck driver. So he was actually away driving a truck at this time. But him and Kendrick were real close. He said they had just talked the day before. So it was just his mom there at the time. So she went up to the school and, wanted to find out more info about, because that was the last place he was seen, was at school. Around that time that she was there talking to the guidance counselor and they were helping her run off missing persons
posters.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Two students entered the gym around 10 a.m. and they noticed socked covered feet sticking up below a rolled up mat. Like when I say a mat, like a gym mat, a wrestling, they were actually
like a wrestling mat. Yeah.
Yes. And so they had a bunch of mats stored behind the bleachers. Uh-huh. They said at Christmas break they had stored a lot of them. They noticed the sock-covered feet were sticking out barely out of the top of one of the mats, the rolled mat. So, of course they told the coach and he went in there and tried to, get to the boy. And they unrolled the mat and realized it was Kendrick and that he was dead in the mat. Yeah. It was pretty gruesome. He had been bleeding because he had been upside down since the day before, so he had been...
What do you mean upside down?
Well, okay, so it was vertical. The mats were rolled up, and they were vertical, and they were huge. Yeah. So this is what...
So his feet were sticking out of the top?
Out of the top. I know, it's confusing.
Okay. But, no, it makes sense now, but that's crazy.
Yeah, when I watch the documentary and watch things, and if you look online, they kind of show a diagram, which is easier, of these rolled up mats that they stored in this gym behind the bleachers.
Oh my gosh.
And, this was the thing, and I'll go back to it, but the kids, supposedly, this was the old gym, they had a new gym, and if you didn't buy a locker, kids would store their stuff in the mats, like store their shoes, and that is what Kendrick was supposedly going into that gym for, to get his shoes that he had stored in the mat.
Okay.
Because they knew he had done that. He had done that before. They got him out, and of course his mom, she said she knew that when they said they found a student, she knew it was him. She said, I just knew he was dead. There's no way he wouldn't have come home, and... it was awful. And they said there was blood and vomit and it was awful. The police, I think they didn't call the coroner or whatever for a while. It was kind of all botched from the get-go. Maybe they weren't used to this kind of case. It's a small town in Georgia. This was just, I don't know, but there were some things that were missed. Like, there was blood on the wall. Okay, there were shoes at the top of the mat, and there was a shoe at the bottom of the mat. It was kind of confusing. And
it's also a school gym, so there's probably kids in and out of there before anybody ever saw him. So
there was that afternoon before and that morning, which this is why I think it was botched. Okay, so they tested the blood. This is what they said. They tested the blood later, and the blood was not Kendrick's blood, but they never tested to see whose blood it was.
Well, did they keep it, though?
No. No, uh-uh. They just thought somebody cut themselves or whatever in the gym, And there was, so the shoes were there. There was a hoodie they said that wasn't his, that was just laying there. They never took any of this stuff. They just, everybody from the get-go was like, It was an accident. Looks like he just went in. He dove in the top of the mat to get his shoes out.
What?
Yeah. He just dove in the top of the mat to get his shoes out, and he got stuck, and he suffocated. This is what they were telling the family that they thought. But they said, we don't know for sure till we do the autopsy. So they do the first autopsy. So we'll get to that. And it came back, cause of death, accidental
asphyxiation.
Thank you so much. Uh-huh. All right. So that's what they said. That's it. You know, it was an accident. Well, his
it's
parents.
The weirdest accident I've ever heard of in my life.
It was very weird. And just kind of like, just doesn't sound right. It's just weird. I mean, the mat was 6 feet tall. Okay. The opening of the mat was 14 inches. Okay. The hole wasn't big enough, as one of his classmates said, to even get stuck in there. I mean, you know, that they
well,
they
just knock it over and unroll it and then roll it back up
that's
and pop it back up.
I
that just
too.
Makes you know, who dives into the top of a
yeah, and I saw somewhere where they said this mat where he was, you know, was found was in the middle of some other mats. So it wasn't like a mat on the edge. So maybe it was too heavy to turn over and get his shoes on the other side.
He was just randomly keeping his stuff in one in the middle. That makes any sense.
I know. Like, why did he choose that one in the middle, you know? So, and also that, so the mats were 6 feet tall. He was 5'10", I think. So he wasn't even like that much. I mean, you know, you would think somebody would heard him screaming or, you
struggling
know,
in struggling. Some way.
Yes. Yeah. If he got stuck in the mat, but also the hole was only 14 inches and his shoulders were 19 inches.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
Yeah, I read that somewhere. So that doesn't really seem right. There were surveillance cameras all over that school. There was 290 hours of surveillance tape from 35 cameras that covered the gym. And I'll go back to the tapes later. But they told them, they were like, well, we need the tapes. You know, we're pretty sure it's an accident. But could you get us the tapes from this time and this time? And this left it up to the school. They didn't just, like, they're supposed to, like, seize the tapes immediately, like, before anybody could tamper with them or anything. No, they were like, just get them to us when you can.
Just whenever you get a minute.
Yeah. Just give us the tapes, but we need this day and this, you know, these hours. So they were like, okay, cool, we'll get them to you, like, they got them to them, like, a week or two later. And they got them the tapes, yeah.
They didn't think it was important, I guess. That's weird.
No, and I read this later. I want to try to stay on task, but CNN actually got these tapes, okay, somehow. And they found that the tapes had two cameras were missing, an hour and 5 minutes of footage on two cameras that were in the gym.
On that day?
Mm-hmm. Mm. On that day. Okay, so his parents felt this did not add up. They were just like, something's not right. We just feel like, you know, this wasn't treated well. And so they had his body exhumed in June of that year, 2013. So they decided, you know, that the Johnsons wanted to get their own autopsy done. And so they hired Bill Anderson to do an independent autopsy. Anderson told the Johnsons he'd found evidence that Kendrick died as a result of a blow to the neck and not accidental asphyxiation after slipping into a gym mat.
Hmm.
Wait, there's more. Okay, not only did he find that there was blunt force trauma to his neck, his organs were missing. Every organ.
Say it again.
His organs were missing. His heart, his lungs, his liver, they were not in his body. Guess what was in his body? His brain, that wasn't his body either. It was rolled up paper, newspaper.
Were they in there the first autopsy?
Okay, of course, the parents were just so upset.
Did somebody take his organs and sell them on the black market?
I know, well, I don't know. I don't know if they're any good if they're already have been not working for 21 hours or supposedly how long he'd been dead.
So what?
This is what they said about that. So, of course, the state did an autopsy, and that's when they said, you know, it was an accidental death, asphyxiation, everything like that. So the state did an autopsy.
We're going to take his organs.
Yeah, and they said when they sent him to Harrison Funeral Home in Valdosta, when they sent him back to Valdosta, he had organs, okay?
Okay.
So the funeral home said when he got to us, he had no organs.
The hell happened to his organs?
And they said the only time they ever dispose of organs is if they have been destroyed, you know, something like damaged them so bad that normally I read somewhere, what they usually do is they take the organ out, dissect it, put it in a Ziploc bag, and then put it back in the body and sew the body up when they're done. At least you get to go with your organs.
I mean, I don't know what good they're going to do you, but it's just weird that they disappeared between an autopsy and a funeral home. Somebody is not telling the truth.
I know. So the funeral home said no. Yeah, no, the funeral home said they came to us with nothing. So,
and they didn't mention that to anybody?
No, they didn't mention it to the family.
Hey.
No.
No. I mean, is that normal? Apparently, it's not normal for them to get a body with no organs.
They said, it could happen, like if the organs were destroyed. And if it does happen, it is normal practice to stuff the body with cotton or, like, sawdust.
Shouldn't it be normal practice to go to the family and go, just a heads up, make sure this is all okay. He ain't got any organs.
Well,
so they can say, oh, yeah, we know. We did, I don't know what with them. Or,
yeah.
What stuff, the hell?
We got the Sunday paper, and we just rolled it up. Yeah. Some cute, you know, I mean, it's not
but
funny.
What
it's,
the
it's
hell?
It's horrible. I mean, it's not, I can't imagine. His dad even said he, like, some of the paper had, like, sales ads from JCPenney. I mean, it was
it's
just
crazy.
Like, so weird. Just so not, you know, shady, and something isn't right. So they said, though, that that's what they usually do, but they were told that this funeral was supposed to not, they were supposed to do this funeral for free, so maybe they cut corners, and instead of using cotton, because I guess cotton costs so much, or dust, or whatever they usually use, because they want to make the body not sunken. They want to, you know, an open casket.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They want to have the body, like, normal condition looking, so that sometimes they have to fill it with things. But I just don't understand why all the organs were missing.
I'm obsessing over the organs a little
bit.
It was actually
a really big deal, though. So
I think so.
Yeah. But after this, you know, they were just super upset about all that and the new findings. But the Johnsons asked the Justice Department to get involved, arguing that authorities failed to investigate Johnson's death thoroughly because he's black. And that's what they felt. But at the time, the Justice Department found insufficient evidence to support an investigation. They basically said, there's not enough to really say this. That anything else happened, just because his organs are gone, we still stand with our first autopsy that we did. That's what they said. So his family believed it was a cover-up, hired an attorney. There were lawsuits. I mean, they filed lawsuits, and you'll find out there was more lawsuits filed by another family. I mean, it was just lawsuits back and forth. One of the lawsuits they filed against the school that he attended, Lowndes County Board of Education, they stated that Johnson was assaulted, severely injured, and that resulted in loss of life. It alleged the defendant, saying the school, ignored reports Kendrick had been attacked and harassed by a white student. A fight had taken place 14 months prior on a bus trip.
Like a field trip?
I think it was a sports event.
Okay.
Because Kendrick also, which I wanted to say, he played basketball, he was a football player. Mm-hmm. I mean, he, you know, was a great kid, and everybody had so many good things to say about him. So that is where Brian and Brandon Bell come into play.
Okay.
These are two boys. Actually, Brian was the one he got in the fight with on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One of them, I think, is Kendrick's age.
Okay. And they're not like twins or anything.
No, Brandon was older. And they're the sons of a local FBI agent. They said they were nowhere near the gym. One had a wrestling match, had to get on a bus. I think there's all different things. The bus driver said he can't remember when the bus left to drive him to the wrestling match. But it was supposedly left around 1:30 because the match started at 4 and it was in a, you know, like an hour away town.
Yeah.
And one of the boys was in fourth block. And that's the class Kendrick never showed up for.
Right.
They claim to have nothing to do with his death. They both say they didn't even see him on that day. They didn't really know where to go. And the parents, I mean, they knew, I guess they didn't have the evidence, but they felt like there was corruption.
Mm-hmm.
And the family was actually raided in 2015. So they felt like something was sketchy, you know. The Bell family was actually raided. They got warrants in the phones. Their computers were taken. Brian Bell actually had a scholarship to play football at Florida State University, and it was revoked pending the federal investigation. But he ended up playing at the University of Akron.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to talk about this documentary.
Okay.
In the documentary, this just came out in 2021. It's because the case was actually opened in March 2021. Mm-hmm. It was reopened. So this is the Bells, and a lot of people think that they're suspects. Okay, so Kendrick's dad actually said that the Bells were the only ones, I mean, that he had beef with. If this was a murder, of course, they're thinking that the Bells are involved.
But the fight was, you said, 14 months before then?
With Brian, yes.
Yeah. So that's a long time in between, and there have been no reports of any...
Well, no, hold up. In the documentary, Brian and Brandon never would speak to the police. Which I'm sure they were advised by their dad, who was an FBI agent, not to. But they did do an interview after their house was raided. Uh-huh. They did an interview on television, and they said they never saw Kendrick that day of school, and they, you know, really hope that whatever happened to him, that the family gets closure and everything like that. Well, in the meantime, that was in 2015. The boys got raided at their house. Okay, so in the documentary, they dropped so many bombshells.
Okay.
So many things I didn't, you know, read about online. And when I did, when I researched the case, that you know, the guy that they hired, Bill Anderson, the family hired to do the second and third autopsy. And yes, there was a third autopsy. I'm not sure if I mentioned that.
He did both the second and the third?
He did the second and the third. So two different times.
They exhumed him twice?
Twice.
Wow.
The second time was in 2018, and he had the same findings as he did the second time.
Yeah.
No different. Blunt force trauma to the neck. Mm-hmm. And there's an artery there that, you know, was severed, mm-hmm. and that caused the death. It was non-accidental blunt force trauma.
Okay.
Okay, so that's what he ruled in the first autopsy, okay, the one the state did, mm-hmm. that it was documented that the lungs had no fluid in them in the first autopsy. Well, if you die of suffocation, your lungs would be heavy and they'd be full of fluid. So mm-hmm. he said there's no way Kendrick died from suffocation with the first autopsy, even though they still, you know, ruled it.
That's what they were going
accidental.
With.
Yeah. Kendrick's dad, he actually said, you know, that the reason he thinks it's Brian and Brandon, he said, because there was no, if it, you know, was murder and someone at school did it, this mm-hmm. is why he thinks it's these boys. He said, because there's no one else that had beef, you know, with his son. There's no one else. Even Brian's dad, the one that worked for the FBI, Kendrick had told his father. He said, you know, something funny happened. Brian's dad came up to me and said that fight that we had on the bus was not a fair fight, and that we needed a do-over, and I needed to come to his house, and we needed to fight again.
A grown man said that to a teenager?
Yes. And his mother said in the documentary, of course he denied it. Well, you know, of course he denied he ever said that.
Right.
Kendrick had told his father that Brandon, that was the other brother, mm-hmm. told people that he was coming after him, that he was coming after Kendrick.
I'm guessing Kendrick won the first fight, and that's why.
Maybe so, yeah. And that, obviously, that's why they were so upset, you know. And the dad even said, like, a lot of people that they interviewed, a lot of witnesses, that Bell's dad was meeting with the same witnesses, and he was intimidating these people. And I'm pretty sure the dad, he had to resign from the FBI. They didn't fire him, but they made him resign because
gave him the option, like,
yeah, because they felt like maybe he did do something shady. Obviously, is why. I mean, that would be that was the assumption in the documentary of why they made him resign. There were so many things, like, and this happened actually in March 2021. A confession tape was sold to the Johnson family for $1,000. They bought it and sent it to the police. And it contained a male voice confessing to killing the teenager, saying, "They're going to catch me anyway. I should have never done that. I was young and stupid. Kendrick doesn't deserve this." Well, they say that it was a hoax and all these things. Another thing in the documentary, they talk about an email. An anonymous email was sent to the sheriff's department, and some of the names are bleeped out of who these people are because they were minors at the time. And it's a girl referring to the Bell boys.
Okay.
This is what the email supposedly said, because I'll say bleep with the boys, with a boy or girl's name. "My best friend was at a party Saturday night with bleep and was upset about something that bleep had said to her. So her and my best friend started talking, and by the end of the night, bleep had told my friend everything that the whole nation had been wondering for the past year. She told my friend what really happened to Kendrick Johnson, said that about a little over a year ago, she had sexual intercourse with Kendrick Johnson while she was dating bleep, found out and threatened KJ. KJ told bleep to meet him in the old gym after third block, and he would have his knife ready. Bleep met KJ and killed him. Bleep had also been heard admitting to killing KJ more than once over the phone. His brother, Blank, also got drunk at a party on the 4th of July and told many people that Blank killed KJ and that he, Blank, was tired of keeping it a secret."
So which Blank allegedly killed?
I'm really not sure.
I mean, it's like bleeped out. You don't know which one of the brothers is saying they killed her.
Yeah, so they bleeped out the name because they were minors at the time, but it was one of the boys.
Right.
I assume Brian was the same age as him, so maybe it was Brian.
Okay.
But, you know, so anyway, they found out who this letter was from, and the letter was from a teenage girl, and, you know, they tracked it down, and she said this was just a rumor. Mm-hmm. So they couldn't, and this was hearsay, and they couldn't do anything with this evidence. But I actually think after this letter is when the boys' house was raided.
Okay, yes. Yeah, did they not question the girl who allegedly had sex with
I'm pretty sure
KJ that was supposedly dating the bleep boy?
I think they questioned her and she denied it.
Having sex with him?
Yeah, and so I think that's why they said, you know, there was no basis to this email. This was just a rumor. We can't do anything about this. And so I think the parents, you know, once they kind of realized there wasn't Kendrick's parents, once they realized they didn't know if they could pin this murder on exactly who it was, they've been going after everybody for corruption because they felt like this was a race thing and that they were mistreated. And if the roles would have been reversed, they would have done more investigating. It would have been a white boy. They would have done more due diligence and they would have not botched the crime scene. And they just, and I agree. I mean, I feel like, how do you have one autopsy that says this and then you have another autopsy that says something completely different? I mean, there's just so much in this case. Brian swore in an interview that he never saw Kendrick, okay? So at the end of the documentary, this was just done in 2021, they go and get, somehow they were able to get all the footage and they scanned through it and they were actually tracking Brian's moves. And there was a frame that they found of Brian on the camera footage, and KJ is catty-corner to him in the hall. They're right next to each other.
Mm.
So that proves that Brian lied.
Yeah.
He did see KJ the day of the murder.
But they didn't find anything when they raided their house. Nothing on their cell phones, nothing on their computers.
I think that may have led to the dad being pushed to resign from the FBI.
Because of the raid or because of what they found?
Well, I'm not really sure. Obviously, maybe they found something that, you know, made them think that there was some corruption in the investigation. Could they prove anything? A magazine, I know, wrote an article. I know Brian and Brad's parents sued them for $500,000 for defamation of character.
Mm-hmm.
So my son and I, we were looking up different articles on Brian, just seeing, you know, where he was now and things like that. And there were some articles about football written about him, and all the comments were murderer, murderer, murderer. Get this murderer off your football team. I mean,
oh my gosh.
So everybody basically thinks, I mean, I think it's a half and half divided.
Yeah.
I was looking on Reddit, and a lot of people are like, this was just a tragic accident. And I'm like, really?
I mean, I don't know about the accident part, but I mean, it is kind of hard to prove somebody did something like that. Like, I mean, they had a fight 14 months before that.
Yeah. No, I don't think there's any, I don't think there's any evidence. Now, yeah. If they would have
and
tested that blood.
And his dad might have been a bully and just bullied people into saying what he wanted them to say. Not necessarily because his son was guilty, but just because he was a bully. It sounds like he was a bully, his dad.
But I definitely think that the second autopsy, the blunt force trauma, I mean, it just seems like that would have to hold up some way that, I mean, I think they
I guess they didn't check, like, the mat for DNA or any of that kind of thing. I'm sure there's a lot on there, but, I mean, I don't know.
That's with the blood. Why didn't they try to match who the blood was? I mean, you can take blood and you can tell, you can do a DNA match. I think you can tell if it's like a female or male or the blood type or anything. Yeah, they found some blood in the girl locker room and it was a female's blood. So, I mean, they definitely could have tested. Why didn't they test that blood at all to see whose blood it was if it wasn't Kendrick's? I think that would be very important.
Yeah.
To the
case. Incompetent. So they still don't know who did it.
So they still don't know who did it. In 2021, it was, you know, brought back up. The investigation is open.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when they got that, family was hopeful. When they got the confession tape, and then it ends up, it's a hoax. So they tracked that down to who it was, and they said actually the voice, they recognized it. And it was a man that had been in jail several times. He was known to get
into. Did the FBI ever come in and work on the case, or was it just the sheriff's department?
It was the sheriff's department, and then I think it was the Justice Department. But they also, remember, they came back and said, we didn't find enough evidence to.
I wonder if it's all the same people that still work at the police department. Because sometimes when new people come in, they're like, I'm going to figure this out.
Well, oh my gosh, there's so much on this case. I mean, there's so much I had to leave out.
It is a small town, like a good old
one. There's people that recused themselves on this case. You know, there was a district attorney that said he was going to find out the truth, and then he ended up, he resigned from the position. I mean, just weird stuff.
Dallas is a really small town, so it's probably a lot of people know each other and that stuff, so there's probably a lot of conflict of interest. But, I mean, surely somebody will.
Well, you've got to watch. Everybody has to watch the documentary, Finding Kendrick Johnson. It's on Amazon. It's going to be on Stars in December 2021.
Mm-hmm.
It is so good, so powerful. It does tell a lot of stories about things that happened with racism in Valdosta, Georgia in the past and, you know, just being a southern town. And so it's a documentary. You'll get a lot more info. And there's some more podcasts about it. And there's some YouTube sleuths that do the case. So go check it out. And thanks for listening to our third episode of Two Blonde Sleuths. Next week is Leanne's turn.